If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you weekly by YouBeauty.com, morning and night multivitamins, YouDocs at gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com. On the phone, it's 877-711-5211. The CDC, Dr. Mike, is telling us to get ready for a hot summer. That's what they're thinking.
Right, and this is that there are about 650 deaths each year from extreme heat that can be prevented. So it's a fairly sizable number, and it's because the people most at risk, that is seniors, children, the poor, and people with pre-existing medical conditions, try and sit still and wait it out, if you will. The key is to make sure you get in a cool area, go to a mall, go to some place that has cooling, and then make sure you get plenty of water. Tap water is fine, get plenty of water. But just to give you the idea, if you look at the number of people who die from heat, it's more than tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, and lightning combined by a large number.
Why are they dying? Why is it? What are they lacking? What are they lacking?
What they do is they get dehydrated, and then once you get to a certain point, heat stroke takes over. And that heat stroke inactivates your brain's own controls of your temperature, and you go very hot and very cold and get arrhythmias, or actually fry your protein in your brain and lose brain function.
What liquid shouldn't you drink when it's hot?
Any liquid is better than no liquid, but it's obviously alcohol is one of those things that tends to let you absorb more heat rather than get rid of it. So alcohol is the one thing that they say you shouldn't do. But other than that, I mean, any liquid is better than no liquid.
If you live in a hot state that has hot water, hot weather, majority of the time, do you get used to it?
There is some customization to heat. That is, you learn how to sweat better. That sounds funny, doesn't it? But you actually are able to turn on your sweating mechanism at a much earlier time and more effectively so that you can dissipate that heat. And remember, keep your mouth open so you can get rid of some of it through your breathing in and out through your mouth is more effective than your nose. That's really a late thing. I mean, really the key is just drinking fluid and getting in as cool an environment as you can.
All right. So hot summer, but so far it's been a pretty wet spring with a lot of rain, especially in the Northeast. Spring heading toward summer here in about a week. The germiest places in the gym, Dr. Mike, where are they?
Well, the interesting thing is that the water fountain, if you happen to actually grab on to the handles, or if you will, the other place is the spout. And don't touch the spout with your mouth. That's a very bad thing. And that's a contaminated one. You wouldn't think of it, but a lot of people do.
Yes.
The other is your water bottle. You really should clean your water bottle periodically because you touch it with your germy hands, the spout, especially if you have one of those things where you flip on and off the spout, and it gets pretty germy. The Zumba class is also one of those places that viruses are transmitted because you're so close together. But the other things that I was surprised at, the gym bag. Your gym bag ends up being very contaminated. Shoes get a lot of different type of microbes, that is bacteria and viruses, and they probably get it from shedding from other areas of your body. So that's your gym shoes are one of the dirtiest. So if you're going to wash after changing your clothes, make sure before you, that is putting on your clothes, make sure you wash after you've put on your gym shoes before you go out. And then, of course, cycling bikes. Hmm. The cycling bike seats and handlebars contain a lot of germs when they looked at them.
I'm not giving up Zumba, all right? I'm not going to give up my Zumba class. I'll just have you know that, all right?
I don't want you to. I just want you to spread 6 feet from the next person. So if you start 6 feet away, you're much safer.
They already do that for some reason. They already get away as far away from me as possible. That ties in with a new study that just came out. Recent study finds that people following a trip to the restroom, some 95% of people don't wash their hands properly, meaning long enough to actually eliminate bacteria properly. Some commit some worse hygiene sins. A third don't use soap, and a tenth don't wash their hands at all. Are we getting any better at washing our hands and being germ-free when we leave the restroom?
I don't know. The one thing that I do know, I mean, we have a we had a hand washing observing brigade. We still have it at the Cleveland Clinic. So we pay people to look at your badge as you go in and out of the room and make sure you're washing your hands and actually validate it. So we have secret watchers, if you will. And we've gone from 35% washing in between patients to the recent data is a little over 99.3%. So we're pretty darn good, and that's preventing a lot of infections. So hospitals are getting a lot better. I don't know about other places.
You know what they say, the character of a man, the character of a person is best judged when nobody's watching. That's how you determine the character of a man. Men were less hygienic than women. Just half the guys used soap, 15% didn't wash their hands. Among women, the stats were 78%, 7% respectively. And they suggested that proper hand washing is occurring, I guess, at a much higher rate. Interesting finding about this study. If the sink was clean, the time increased. The time that people spent washing their hands increased when the sink was clean.
That makes some sense. They felt more comfortable there, so they would wash for longer.
Yep. I'm sure never. I've never eaten restaurants where the help has scratched the words "drop dead" on the sign that says "employees must wash hands." That's a deal killer for me when I see that wash your hands sign scratched out by somebody who works in the restaurant. Smartphone addiction may affect adolescent development. Mike, we'll do that before the break, and our guest at 5:35. What are the details on that?
This is 200 adolescents in Korea, South Korea, obviously, and smartphones, 6.5% personally reported they have excessive use of smartphones. 41.3% said excessive gaming on the smartphone. 12% reported abnormal behavior after losing their smartphone. I understand that one. 9.3% reported conflicts with parents. And 9% reported looking up obscene material. That was self-reports. So you can see that it's probably much higher than that. But it is associated with depression. And even suicide, that is, the kids who have the addiction. In the United States, 37% of teens had smartphones in 2012. That's up from 23% the year earlier, so it's increasing a great deal. And obviously what you need to do if you're a parent is to set limits. And remember, you can always see what they're looking at if you want to. That is a way, if the NSA can do it, you can do it. But remember that the goal is to set limits and then have trust.
If Dr. Deb Lonser were here today, she'd say some of these kids get this new modern technology too early, in their developmental years. But I'll say it for her today since she's not with us here today. It's udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Got a phone, use it if you want to talk to Dr. Mike. Or any guests that we have along the way in the show, you can do that too. It's 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. We'll tackle those knees of yours. When you hear snap, crackle, and pop, do you think of cereal or your body's soundtrack to working out? Help for your knees, ACLs, and everything else in between with one of the best orthopedic surgeons out there. On You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.